I just got through telling Denny that I, when he and I were trying to work out the details of having Lothar and Michelle come, I said, do they really want to leave their own faith family to come here and for us to pray for them? And Denny was like, yeah, this seems to be the best Sunday for them. And I was like, really? Are you sure? And after we heard this story, I love how the Lord works. Because the topic this morning is on the gift of family. We were going to close out AD last week, and then as I continued to read in the book of Acts, there was this movement of in and out, that as the family of God, as the church was going out and doing ministry and doing mission, we would find them coming back in to fellowship with one another. And so this morning, we're looking at the gift of family, the gift of a spiritual family, really the gift of doing life together as a family. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I love how Michelle and Lothar adopted Joshua, and Sarah came in this morning. She said, I miss not seeing your family, because she had been with us for the past couple months as well, and it was just such a joy to have them, have Sarah in our home, and it was a joy for Joshua to be in Lothar and Michelle's home as well. But, you know, when we talk about salvation, we're talking about the fact that God adopts us as our Father. You know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus wanting us to address God as Father, as Abba, as they would say back then, which was a term of endearment, a term meaning daddy in their language. And so God becomes our Father, and then we are his children. And since we are his children, that then makes us what? We're family, right? And so we've been adopted into a new family. I love hearing Chris Flannery talk about being adopted. I love hearing about Kim Carlson talk about his parents and how he was adopted. And it's funny because I need to remind myself every so often that Miranda and Krista were also adopted. So many times I just think of them, oh, that's right, they were adopted, because Miranda is just so much like Denny, and Krista's just so much like Karen, in all the good ways, of course. But I love that we have multiple pictures of being adopted into a family, and that's what we are. We've been adopted into a family, so we have a gift of salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God that wasn't free on his part. It cost Jesus his very own life, but it's free for us. And in this gift of salvation, we're also given the gift of family. We're given the gift of togetherness and closeness. We're given the gift of doing life together. And when we come to faith in Jesus, it's the result of God himself drawing us into relationship with him. Jesus at one point saying in John chapter 6, verse 44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. So when God draws you to Jesus and you respond in faith, you are adopted into a new family. And it's overwhelming how many times all throughout the scriptures that we are referred to as family, that we're referred to as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what we see in the early church, and I would encourage you to read, I'd actually encourage you to read the book of Acts all in one setting at one point. Maybe some point this summer you can sit down with that book and just read it all the way through. But even this week, if you were just to read Acts chapters 1 through 6, and you begin to see this movement of them, you know, do you remember when Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, before he did, he told them to do what? To go to Jerusalem and wait. And so, but they waited actively. They waited. They were together all in one place, and they waited actively. They waited in such a way that they were praying together. And so then once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then what was going on privately became public. I mean, there was such a commotion that they couldn't do otherwise. They had to go outside. And so what was going on in their personal relationship with Jesus became public. And so you see this in and out, and this in and out movement that the church was doing, that between public acts of outreach, there are private times of fellowship. Between public acts of outreach, there are private times of fellowship. Not only are they teaching people on the streets, but they're also teaching people from house to house. They're healing people in the streets. They're also healing people from house to house. And so we get this sense of this movement between in and out and in and out when we read in Acts chapter 5, verses 42. It says, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So in Acts chapter 1, they're seen in the room praying together, and then the Holy Spirit fills them, and then what happens privately becomes public, and they begin to address the crowds there. And at one point, you know, John and Peter are going to the temple at the time of prayer, and they heal a man, and he goes into the temple courts with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And that night, they arrest these two apostles. They put them in prison. They tell them that they are not to speak in Jesus' name anymore. But then we find them going back. So they're in public, and then they go back into private. They go back into fellowship. They go back to their faith family, and they're praying together again in Acts chapter 4, where the Holy Spirit fills them once again, giving them the boldness to go back out and minister and share Jesus' message with the crowds. And so I want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. And I want you to look at what they are devoted to. This is what the faith family there in Jerusalem was devoted to at this time. So Peter had just addressed thousands of people when this takes place. Luke records in the tale end of chapter 2, it says, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And so this is what they were devoted to. Just look at this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So with this gift of salvation, we've also been given the gift of family. We've been given the gift of a faith family. We've been given the gift of being able to do life together. You see, doing life together is not a luxury, it's a necessity. Being close to one another is not a luxury, it's a necessity. I once heard the story, I've been reading a book by Randy Frazee. He's a pastor down in Texas, and his book is called The Connecting Church. And Randy tells the story of how his kids were trying to convince him that they needed a dog. Anybody ever been there, done that? You know, your kids are, you know, they beg you and beg you and beg you and months and months and months. And then finally, so Randy and his wife gave in and they got a beagle. They named her Lady. And there was at one point where the Frazees were off on vacation, and he was a little afraid to admit this. He took the lady to a doggy hotel. Maybe you've seen one. We've actually taken, when we had Dakota, we took Dakota down to one on Michigan Avenue. And actually, that was the last time we ever took him there. Because though he was well taken care of, when we came back after that weekend, he was hoarse. It was almost like he had been barking all weekend long. He wasn't alone, but he was lonely. He wanted us. And so from there on out, we actually had the Gothiers take care of Dakota and Chianti, and they love going over there. They love the attention that they get from them. So the Frazees, They were trying to decide what to do with Lady, and so they took Lady to this doggy hotel. And this doggy hotel was a little bit nicer than the one that we took Dakota to, because this one had TVs. And I'm not really sure what you would have on the TV. I mean, every kennel, every dog had its own TV, and I don't know what channel you would have on at that point. I don't know, Animal Planet. I don't know. What's that? Chimp Eden, yeah, I don't know. So, but when they came back after this week vacation, they noticed that something was really wrong. Her hair was falling out. And so Randy, so he's got this bill of the doggy hotel, and he's like, oh my word, now what? You know, I've got to call the vet and find out what's going on. And he described the symptoms of what was going on with Lady, and the vet said, listen, she misses you. And though there were people and there were other dogs, though she wasn't alone, she was lonely. She longed for you. And so what the vet said, they didn't have to go to the vet. This is the prescription. Deb, is this good? She's our vet, actually. But he said, listen, you need to go spend 2 hours with Lady. And straight, just focus your attention completely on Lady. And within 15 minutes, her hair stopped falling out. And she was better. It's interesting that even a dog, after being away from its family for a week, begins to fall apart, literally, emotionally. How much more so us, if we're going through life without doing life together? How much more so us, who have a family of faith? How much more so us, who are created in the image of God, God being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Himself being in eternal relationship? How much more so us if we are not truly connecting and connected with one another? You see, we were designed and created for connection. In fact, when we are touched, when we actually touch each other, hemoglobin in the blood increases significantly. Hemoglobin is the part of the blood that carries vital supplies of oxygen to the heart and brain. So if we want to be healthy, we must touch one another. So just do me a favor, give somebody a fist bump, high five, kiss on the cheek. I mean, whatever you want to do. But, you know, this is awesome because you've just increased each other's hemoglobin level this morning. But community and belonging are needs that we have. Being touched not just on a physical level, but emotionally, spiritually, they're necessities of life. And when I've come to this passage before, when I've read it, sometimes I've even taught it, a lot of times I take a look at this and I go, that, okay, these are things that we have to do. These are things that we need to do. And this week I was like, wow, these are things that we get to do. God has given, not only has He given Jesus as a gift to us, not only has He given us life, but He's actually given us to one another. And so this faith family that we're in is a gift to each and every one of us. So let's unpack this for some time here. There are five gifts that we are given. One is teaching. We get to learn God's word together. Two is fellowship. We get to be with each other. Three, how many of you like this? Bread. We get to eat together. We do that one well as a church, right? We are growing as a church in this fourth one, prayer. We get prayer as a gift. We get to go to God together. And the fifth gift is possessions. We get to share with one another. And so first off, the gift of teaching. We get to learn God's word together. So God has given us His word. He's given us to each other to learn from each other and to teach one another. What the Bible says about the word itself, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I think too many times we keep the word of God to ourselves. I'm excited that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but allow that personal relationship to become public. That when God teaches you something, immediately teach someone else what you are learning. Because with the word, God's very words, they are alive and they are active. They cut, they go deep. And so we actually deepen relationships with one another as the scriptures are a part of our natural conversations. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us this gift of his word, and so we teach each other, we lovingly rebuke each other, we can correct one another. We train each other so that we equip one another to live this life together. And so in the early church, they taught each other not only when they came together, but then also in larger public settings. They taught each other publicly and privately. It says in Acts chapter 20:20, when Paul had gathered the Ephesian elders together, he said this. He says, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. It's a gift when you call someone up and tell them what you're learning from the Word. I love it when Michelle is involved in Bible study fellowship, and many of you ladies are involved in that. I thank God for it, because she usually has some great insight about what she is studying. And so we have conversations about it, and she'll come to me with questions, and I'll say, I don't know, hon, why don't you ask Brenda? But we have some great talks because she is also in the Word, and so it's a blessing, it's a gift when both of us are in the Word together and we can share in that together. I've been reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his short book that he wrote in prison called Life Together, and he says this about our relationship with one another and the Word of God. He says, but God has put his Word into the mouth of men in order that it may be communicated to other men. When one person is struck by the Word, he speaks it to others. God has willed that we should seek him and find his living Word in the witness of a brother, in the mouth of a man. Therefore, a Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. For by himself, he cannot help himself without belying the truth. He needs his brother. He needs his brother man as a bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation. We need each other. We're in relationship with one another. And so as we learn from the Lord, we can also teach as a voice for the Lord and teach one another. So the first gift is the gift of teaching, that we can learn from one another. And then the second gift is fellowship. We get to be with each other. There's a closeness and a ready-made family, kind of a tailor-made family that we are given when we are adopted by our Father. We receive a gift of closeness, and it's a closeness of being together and working together for a common cause. So it's being together, but it's also working together. It's worshiping together and working together. Paul ends his second letter to the Corinthians by saying this, and it's a blessing. He says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are given this gift of closeness with God himself, with his Holy Spirit, and we can cultivate a closeness with his presence. We can also cultivate a closeness with one another as well. And a little bit later, I'm going to read to you again from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, where he talks about how God's very presence living in each and every one of us as believers, it's almost as if God is speaking to us through us. David was wishing that he had a closer relationship with someone when he lamented in Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14. He says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. David was wishing for a deeper connection with this one man that he had been connected with before. Larry Crabb once wrote, unless we sense that we belong to each other with masks off, the vibrant church of today will become the powerless church of tomorrow. Stale, irrelevant, a place of pretense where sufferers suffer alone, where pressure generates conformity rather than the Spirit creating life. That's where the church is headed unless it focuses on community. So we've been given the gift of community and the closeness of fellowship. And the next gift really builds on this idea of fellowship. So we get to teach each other. We get to be with each other. And my favorite, we get bread. We get to eat together. Our text this morning reads, "They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." They ate together. Where did they eat together? In each other's homes. So there's a closer connection that people have when they get together and they eat together. This is one of the ways that Michelle and I have tried to reach out to neighbors is just by simply having them over to our house. You can actually use hospitality as a means of outreach, especially in today's culture. But when you let someone into your home, you let them into your life. You let them into your world. And that's such a blessing to be allowed into someone's life, especially in this day and age. Though we are the most technologically connected generation ever, we are actually the least relationally connected generation ever. This is something that George Barna has found. But eating together and having people into our homes draws us together. When Michelle and I were a young couple, just a couple years ago, we were invited over to a couple's house for lunch one day, Bill and Betty Shell. I know I've shared this with you maybe years ago, but the impact that they made on our lives was pretty significant because usually when you have somebody over to your house and you say, hey, okay, so let's have dinner at 6 o'clock, when is dinner usually ready? 6 o'clock, 6:30, you know, sometime right around the time that they tell you to come, right? So we came and there were no hors d'oeuvres out, nothing was ready yet. I may have been wondering, okay, did I get this right? Were we supposed to eat beforehand? But no. But what Bill and Betty wanted to do was make dinner with us. And so we headed into the kitchen together and we were cutting vegetables together and preparing the meat together and preparing the meal together and cooking it together. We did everything together. And what we thought was going to be maybe an hour to an hour and a half time of having dinner and having good conversation together turned out to be maybe 3 or 4 hours of just simply enjoying the evening together. And what was awesome is that Bill and Betty, they didn't just share their time with us, they didn't just share a meal with us, but they shared their lives with us. And as we sat there and talked, and this happened multiple times over the course of the couple years that we lived in Charlotte, that we learned from them about marriage. How many of you know that when I marry someone, I require premarital counseling, but a lot of times the counseling is more needed post, you know, after you say I do, right? And not before it. It's like before it, you're like, oh, I love him, I love her. You know, everything's all good, and you say I do, and then the next day you go, I did what? You know, and so you begin to realize that maybe the counseling that you needed was more postmarital counseling than premarital counseling, but it was in those relationships with them that we learned what it meant. And I forget how long they had been married at that point, but it was wonderful to learn from a couple who had been married 15 to 20 years. And Michelle and I, I didn't even think about this until now, but we almost kind of got to return the favor to another young couple as we spent time last weekend at the couples retreat up north. How many of you know Andrew Honeycutt from camp? But he got married a year and a half ago, and so we got to spend Saturday the afternoon together with them and got to share with them as a couple who's been married almost 21 years and they've been married a year and a half. But it's wonderful to be able to invite someone not just into your home and invite them to a meal, but invite them into your life and into your world. This is a gift that we have been given. I didn't realize until this past month when I got to spend, Michelle and I got to spend time with Dean Phelps, who's the brother of our neighbor, Diane. I didn't fully realize how much we had become a family to her. You know, it was somewhat obvious because she's got, you know, Gordy, he lives in New York, and Dean, he lives in New Mexico. And so, you know, she was away from family. She had a couple close-knit friends and family around the area, but we really did become her family. But what's interesting is we were told that we would not get along with her. The people who lived in our home before us told us stories about how gruff she was, how mean she was. In fact, after she passed away, our neighbor two doors down, Keith, he came and he wanted to say, "Hey, I'm sorry for the loss of your neighbor," and it was really sweet. But he said, "You know, the kids in the neighborhood called her Cruella de Vil." Anybody remember the character from, is it 101 or 1001? 101, okay, yeah, 1001 would be way too many dogs. Because, you know, 101 is doable, right? Dean said that over the years she softened. Over the conversations, some being really funny because she would be out on her back porch, we would be by the fence, and she'd ask us a question, and I'd reply, and she'd go, "What?" Because she didn't have her earpieces in at the time. So I'm like, "Why are you asking me a question if you can't hear the response?" But it was really wonderful we would invite her to Christmas dinners, Thanksgiving dinners, Mother's Day. We'll have Dean over today for Mother's Day. But to be able to share your life with someone, time with someone, energy with someone, over a meal with someone, over the years, you would be amazed. If you've ever struggled with knowing how to witness or how to share your faith with someone, just have somebody over to your house for dinner, for lunch. I know you can do that. You know, maybe you're not a cook, but you can have something brought in, whatever. It's really easy just to have somebody over to your home, and you would be amazed at how natural your faith and who you love and what you're about can come out over a meal. It was almost 2 years ago when we had one of our annual play parties at our house on Memorial Day, and one of them lasted into the night, and our neighbor across the street, Barb, was over with us, and I remember very naturally Michelle and I being able to have a conversation about what we believed in, and it was wonderful to see her start to warm up to Jesus and start to want to get into the Word and then start to come here and bring her mom here. But you can use fellowship and eating together as a way to reach out to one another. It truly is a gift. Prayer is another gift. We get to go to God together. It's a wonderful gift when you call someone to pray with them. Christy was telling me last month, we were on the phone together, and she said that she found herself praying more for friends on campus, but what would happen is someone would tell her something, and she'd go, "Oh, I'll pray for you on that," and then she would see them maybe a day or two after. She'd go, "Oh, I didn't pray for them, and I told them that I would," and so she started to get into the practice of, you know, she would say, "Oh, well, could I pray for you right now?" So they would just actually stop what they were doing, no matter where they were, and they would pray together. So that's such a gift to know that someone is praying for you, and it's a gift for you to call someone up and say, "Hey, I've been praying for you. Is there any way that I can pray for you specifically?" I loved it when Sierra and I were driving. I think I was just taking her to work, and she just told me out of the blue that she was praying for me, and that made me feel really good as a dad. But Ralph even called me up one day this week and said that he had been praying for me as well. It is such a gift when you call someone up and say, "Hey, I've been praying for you. Is there any way specifically I can pray for you?" I love the gift that Derek has been to our leadership team. We've been praying together as a council so much more. I love that. That's a gift. So I want you to be encouraged. I want to challenge you that when you are facing some kind of need, see your faith family, see your brothers and sisters as a gift to you, and just call somebody up and say, "Hey, can you pray for me? I'm just going through a rough patch right now." And just realize the gift that we have in each other. We get to teach each other. We get to be with each other. We get to eat together. We get to go to God together. And God has given us possessions. We get to share with each other. This text talks about the fact that they stopped seeing their possessions as something that they were to hold on to, and instead they gave their possessions away. So that it's amazing commentary that Luke gives us in chapter 4, verses 34 through 35. He says, "There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses..." Now, he said time to time, right? It's not all the time. It's from time to time, "those who owned lands and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need." And so this wasn't something that they were forced to do, but something that they wanted to do. If you remember, and if you've you know, if you know the story because you've read it, or maybe you just saw it a couple weeks ago on TV with the special with AD, you saw the story of Ananias and Sapphira. So this couple, they had sold some land and decided that they were going to give a portion to the apostles laid at their feet, and that was okay because, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. So, you know, you give what you decide between you and God. The problem was is that they decided to lie about how much they had given, and so Peter asked Ananias, he says, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" And this is the key question here. "Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? You could have given this any way you could have. You could have given a tenth. That's something that Abraham did, and so we give a tithe. But you could have given 50%. You could have given 70%. There were some people, we get it, that have given 100%. That's all right. You didn't have to give 100%. "What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. That's not going to happen for this offering, just to let you know. What you give is something you decide between you and God. And just realize that for us New Testament believers, 10%, a tithe is a beginning, because we see everything that we've been given as a gift from God. Our possessions are a gift from God. But you see, they didn't allow what they owned to own them. They didn't allow what they possessed to possess them. They used what God had given them to give back to God. There are too many people who believe you give in order to get, but you get in order to give. Ask what God is teaching others. Share what God is teaching you. Spend time in fellowship with one another. Share a meal together. In fact, that I would ask that would be your homework this week, that you would actually share a meal with a brother or sister, or have a family over to your place. Eat together, pray together, connect with someone this week, and find out how you can be praying for them. And when you need prayer, ask a family member if they can pray for you. Contact someone and ask them to pray for you. We're a gift that God has given to one another. And we'll close with this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if the team wants to come on up. Bonhoeffer says this. Part of it is written in your bulletin, so you can have that, this as well. But he talks about how the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. He talked about how Paul longed to see Timothy. And he said, the prisoner, the sick person, the Christian in exile sees in the companionship of a fellow Christian a physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. Visitor and visited in loneliness recognize in each other the Christ who is present in the body. They receive and meet each other as one meets the Lord in reverence, in humility, and joy. They receive each other's benedictions as the benediction of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if there is so much blessing and joy, even in one single encounter of a brother with brother, how inexhaustible are the riches that open up for us who by God's will are privileged to live in the daily fellowship of life with other Christians. It is easily forgotten that the fellowship of Christian brethren is a gift of grace, a gift of the kingdom of God that any day may be taken from us, that the time that still separates us from utter loneliness may be brief indeed. Therefore, let him or her who until now has had the privilege of living a common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his or her heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with other Christian brothers and sisters. Amen.